The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When the wine ran short, the mother said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, how does that concern of yours affect me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servers, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for Jewish ceremonial washings, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." So they took it. And when the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine, without knowing where it came from, although the servers who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves good wine first, and then when people have drunk freely, an inferior one. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this at the beginning of his signs at Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. I guess there's all kinds of little stories that you can make up about this gospel reading. One being, remember several years ago there was this commercial, and anyway, they have Jesus saying, "I will make no wine before my time." Remember that commercial several years ago? I think it was Gallo or somebody like that. And another one being that, say, our Blessed Lady suggested that he start his public ministry in this way, because she was tired of him hanging around the house. Now, whether these things are true or not, you know, we don't really, I don't think that's the important issue here today. But the important thing I think we do need to think about is, you know, it was at the invitation of his mother. She's, being a mother, a very concerned person. She noticed that for this great feast, which went on, I guess, for several days, maybe even a week, that the host were running out of wine. And that would be a terrible embarrassment, that they had this big party, this big wedding party, and they couldn't afford to give the people much to drink. Or they ran out of the stuff that helped the party to keep going. And so Mary, very concerned about them. So she simply mentions to Jesus, "They have no wine." And of course, he said, "My time has not yet come." And of course, we think about that, and it's probably he's thinking about his public ministry and his time. The great sign was his glorification when he was crucified. And probably being human as he was, as well as God, he didn't want to face that any sooner than he had to. But he accepted the invitation of his mother and said, said to the waiters, just fill those jugs up with wine, with water. And they did. And then he said, "Now take some to the head steward." And they did. And it was very good wine, which you would expect Jesus to do anyway. But he it seemed like he would do these things at parties. He obviously enjoyed parties. He was there at the wedding feast. He did this great favor for the hosts who were throwing the party so that they could continue the celebration, so that everybody would have a good time. He seemed to like that a great deal. And I think in doing that, if you read some of the prophets, you know, they kept talking about when the kingdom of God comes, when the kingdom is established on earth, it will be like a great banquet where people will come with, or there'll be more than super abundant foods, the finest foods that you could imagine. They talk about the drink, the finest wines that the world could produce. Those are things that we're going to celebrate. So it's like Christ enjoyed that sort of thing. He told Zacchaeus when he was up the tree, he said, come on down, I'm having dinner at your house tonight. He just kind of invited himself and created a party. But that was his way of getting messages across. The kingdom of God, which this was one of the first signs that the kingdom was being established on earth. The kingdom of God is a very special place and time for everyone. And it's going to be very different. It means that people are going to be different. They're going to have to do different things. But ultimately, everybody will be able to celebrate for all eternity in the superabundance of our God, of his superabundant love that he pours out for us and is revealed in, say, blessing situations like marriages, where he frequently compared his church to his bride. That marriage relationship, that loving relationship, that intimacy, he talked about that a lot. And then another interesting thing is his disciples began to believe in him. Now, if he had not yet started his public ministry, he obviously still had people who were very interested in listening to him. So there were disciples who began to follow him, people who were, they liked what he was saying. They wanted to be a part of that somehow. But they weren't sure who he was. He was a great prophet to their minds, a lot of them. But whether or not he was the Messiah, the promised Messiah, the promised Redeemer, they didn't know that. But when he did things like this, it says they began to believe in him. So the kingdom of God now is being established. And one of the first signs that Jesus worked was to give this superabundance of wine, so that people would rejoice and celebrate, be together, love one another, be with one another. That's one of the first signs of the kingdom. Now, we are all part of that. We're all part of that kingdom. He has invited us to be there. And through our baptism, we become part of that. And then each and every one of us has a particular role that God created just for you, each one of you. Remember when God made you, he made you in his image and likeness. Every one of us is different because God made each and every one of us different. He didn't want two people to be exactly the same. Because each one, he gives some task, some responsibility, some gift, as St. Paul talks about. He gives some gift. And every one of us, if we live out that gift, if we develop that gift, whatever it may be, and we don't always know. Sometimes we simply have to, by faith, follow where the Spirit of God leads us and respond to that to the best of our ability. And then we will be living out our gift, whatever it may be. For some people, it may be the gift of motherhood. For others, it may be the gift of fatherhood. Maybe it's being a parent who has such a loving heart that they reach out to other children. You know, it goes on and on and on. It can be a thousand things. It could be a gift of super intelligence where you can help people understand issues of the divine, issues of our universe, issues of medicine, or whatever it may be. It may be the task that I'm simply a faithful worker, that I'm willing to do whatever my boss tells me to do, and I will do it to the best of my ability, even if I think he should pay me more. All of this kind of stuff. Whatever those gifts are, we don't always know what they are. It may be the gift of prayer, the ability to spend time devoted, completely enveloped in the mercy and love of God, and praying for our world, praying for the persecuted, praying for whatever it may be. That may be our gift. Our gift may be able to deal with suffering in a way that doesn't complain and moan and groan, but that person is able to deal with suffering, no matter how difficult, in a way that most people probably wouldn't even know they're suffering pain or difficulty. So whatever those gifts are, all of that contributes. These are signs that contribute to the wholeness of this kingdom of God on earth. And every one of us, and there's no one has a right to excuse themselves because God doesn't accept your excuses anyway. He said, I gave you the gift. What did you do with it? So every one of us has a part in all of this. The whole church, every one of us has a distinct part. We may not always know exactly, as I mentioned, what it is. But we know every one of us has a very distinct part. If we don't do our part, there's kind of a hole that will have to be filled some other way. So you know, we look at the total sometimes. Say, like, we look at the church, and we wonder why our church in the world today isn't growing. Why is not the Word of God, the Word of Jesus, which we profess to believe in, why is it not being accepted in other places in the world? Why is it not being accepted sometimes in our own families? Why do we have to struggle so much with getting members of our household to pray? Why is it so difficult sometimes to get them to take time to read the Word of God or to show any interest in the things of God? Why is it? We can keep asking ourselves a question. Why is the Catholic Church not the powerful influence for good in this world that we are capable of being, because we make up a gigantic percentage of the population of the world? Why are we not that kind of influence? And we could probably be all say, well, we can all think of 1,000 reasons. And if you can think of 1,000, I'd probably think of 2,000. Why people don't want to be a part of it. But none of them really have to do with the message of our Lord or the invitation to be part of the kingdom. It's mostly our likes or dislikes or our choices, or that may be contrary to the choices that the leadership sometimes makes. The action of other members of the church that maybe anger us or disgust us or repel us or whatever it may be. But the thing is, we're committed to Jesus Christ. We are all committed to Him through our baptism. And He says, I want you to be a part of this kingdom. I want you to believe like these disciples did. When I do things, I would like for you to look at them, enjoy them, celebrate them, participate in them. I would like for you all to do that. And then when you do that, you are part of this kingdom of God on earth. You are contributing to the betterment, the fulfillment of the kingdom of God on earth. You are making our world a better place. You are making our church a better place. You're making yourself a better person. All of this happens when we cooperate with that gift that God gives to us. It would be interesting, say, if every one of us could sit down and write what my particular gift is that God has given to me, that He expects me to contribute to the good of this whole body of God, Christ on earth, to this whole kingdom of God on earth. It would be interesting. Some people probably know what that gift is. Probably a lot of us will never know. But we believe in our Lord enough to believe that He gave it to us, and that He expects whatever that is, by following His guidance, by following the lead of the Spirit of God, that we will accomplish what He wants us to accomplish. So on this Sunday, we celebrate this marriage feast of Cana. We all drink of the wine and enjoy. We're supposed to. That's part of being members of the kingdom of God. We're supposed to enjoy this rich banquet that our Lord has prepared. We're going to enjoy that for all eternity. What we do, if we do it while we're alive, people catch on that this is not a bad thing. is probably something very good. We have so much to offer. Come and enjoy the banquet. And then use the gifts that God has given to bring the message to others so that they too can join in this kingdom celebration.